moving over. Well, it's good to be here with you guys tonight. We're actually here. Our son and daughter-in-law just closed on a house today. God is just blessing them right and left, and we'll be helping them move tomorrow. Bright and early, we're picking up the U-Haul, and you know how it is. He gave me that pitiful phone call a couple weeks ago. Dad, you know, I don't really have anybody to help me. And I'm still bivocational presently, not much longer. And I'm like, well, if I can get off work. And really, I wasn't really wanting to get off for this, to be honest. Because usually they won't let us off this time of year too much. And I figured, don't hold your breath, sons. I probably won't be able to get it. Well, God had other plans. And I graciously got it off very quickly and easily, and I was very surprised. But now we know it was a divine appointment as well to be here with you guys tonight. And we want to just share our hearts with you and encourage you in the Lord. We've been at this thing. We've been pastoring our church 16 years, and it's been a lot of hard toiling, a lot of people that you once thought was your best friends are now stabbing you back and gone kind of thing. Surely none of you have experienced that. A lot of ups and downs. But we kept toiling, kept plowing. And that's my encouragement to you tonight. Praise is keep toiling, keep plowing. Because if your hearts are pure and motives are right, you will reap that harvest. We have been at this. I mean, now God is just, we are in such a phenomenal move of the Spirit right now that we've never experienced in our 16 years. We have doubled in size in the last, 6 months and continue to grow weekly. We've got our little building just crammed, packed as full as we can get it. And God has opened a door for us to purchase another property, and keep that in your prayers. We're working through that now, and it will probably be in the fall before we can transition into that. So we're like, okay, Lord, help us where we are. Stay focused and keep moving ahead. And it just amazes us that new faces keep coming every week. So Barnes, the statistics aren't exactly right when the Holy Spirit is there.
Right.
You know, if you're 80% full, you got to do something. Well, we're 125% full, and people are still coming. So if the Holy Spirit's there, they will come. And I wanted to share this scripture with you tonight, this word that so many years ago encouraged me and kept me looking ahead even when things seem small. You know, and even this text right here, next week will be 19 years ago that I heard a Baptist evangelist, well, he's a Baptist pastor. He was in town holding a revival meeting, and one of my coworkers that had just recently been saved invited me to come. And, well, I thought, well, I should, because I've been encouraging her. So, if she invited me to revival, I'm going to go. And we went. Well, anyway, he preached out of this text that night, and I should have announced my call into ministry that very night because it was that strong on me. But it's always been such an awesome scripture, this text to me, and it's very encouraging to me, and I want to share it with you and encourage you tonight. So it's John chapter 6, a very, very familiar story of Jesus feeding, you know, that 5,000 men besides the women and children in this miraculous event. I'm going to be reading from a New Living Translation and quoting some from the King James, as well as I like some of the verses, the way it's worded in this text in the King James. But to get a little story where we're at before this, when you look at chapter 5, you know, the impotent man was there by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus walked by and said, will thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed? And he said, well, I'd love to, but every time the angel comes and troubles the waters, I'm crippled, I can't get in, you know. And Jesus said, well, rise up, take up your bed and walk, you know. So he immediately was healed and started carrying his mat around he was lying on, you know, and was rejoicing throughout the synagogue, because it was the Sabbath, by the way, when this happened. And the religious crowd didn't like that, you know, and they started just having them a little fit, you know. You know how religiosity can have a fit? And, well, wait a minute, this is the Sabbath, and he's working on the Sabbath, and he said, I'm doing my Father's work, and my Father and I work on the Sabbath. And we know, so this big religious debate began to take place, and Jesus began to share with them who he was, and he was the Son of God. And now we roll into this text here in the next part of the story. In verse number 1, And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to share from your word tonight. And Lord, we have come to encourage these people. And Father, we need you. We need your help. Holy Spirit, we need you. And we just ask you to come and minister to us and through us to touch the hearts of these precious people, that they would be encouraged, Father, and that we would see little become much because God is in it. In Jesus' name. And we all said, all right. It says, after this, what we just talked about, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, to the other side, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went. Well, why in the world would they do that? Because of all the great miracles, right? All the great things he was doing. Because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed up on a hill and sat down with his disciples, you know, those 12, and around him, and began to teach them a little bit. And it was nearly time for the Passover. And verse number 5 said, and you know, here he is, he's busy, he's teaching his disciples near all these thousands. It says multitudes in King James, which means thousands. It was a large crowd of people begin to gather around, you know. And we know in just a few verses, we know there were at least 5,000 men besides the women and children. But they begin to come in close and try to get an earshot of what Jesus was saying. And he was intimately teaching these disciples, and he just looked up. I like how King James says it. It says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. Boy, isn't it awesome when Jesus lifts up his eyes and sees you? Isn't it wonderful when he looks up and sees you right where you are in your time of desperation and in your time? These people were getting hungry. It was getting late in the day, and they were hot, and they were thirsty, and they were tired. And he began to look up and see them right where they were. And I begin to see this. Even this morning, I was out there at my son's looking over this scripture again, and I ask myself, as Holy Spirit asked me, Todd, what do you see when you look up and see the multitudes, when you see your community, when you see your city, when you see your church, when you see your coworkers? What do you see? Are you seeing with the eyes of Jesus? Because Jesus looked with eyes of compassion. You know, we know over there in the one of the other Gospels, I believe it's in Matthew. Yes, Matthew chapter 9. You know, said Jesus looked out over the crowd and said he was moved with compassion. That word moved in the original text means he was trembling inside. He was so shaken in his spirit and trembled. And I honestly believe, Pastor, with all my heart, he started weeping. He was so moved by the needs of those people as he looked out and saw them right where they were. And he was moved with compassion. And he began to look at his disciples and look at those around and say, the harvest truly is plentiful. It's a large harvest. And I know in Johnson City there's a large harvest. Johnson City's a small city compared to where you guys are. And I know there's a huge harvest here. So I challenge you to look out on the harvest field with eyes of compassion as Christ. And never have a judgmental eye. Never point a finger. But have a tear and see that soul, see that heart, and remember, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there goes I. And so Jesus looked up with those eyes of compassion. He was moved. He felt a deep heaviness in his heart and would have sympathy for them to meet their need. Isn't that awesome? I don't know about you. I have a lot of times in my life when I have some, I got a weight on my shoulders, don't you? And we go through, it's like I tell my folks at home, life just gets tough, you know. And you think, because us pastors got all the answers, right? We don't have them all, but we know who does. And sometimes I can't give an answer. All I can say is, man, life just happens. You know, life's hard. Life's tough, but we got a Savior. We got a Father who cares, amen, that's on our side. And he was there, and he looked up, and he saw the needs of these people. And I love what he did. Jesus is just a cool fella, I tell you. And he loved to ask questions, and he still loves to ask us these questions and see where our heart is, see where our faith is. So he looked out over that crowd, and he turned around to Philip, and he asked him this question. Where can we buy bread to feed all these people? Come on. And it goes on to say in he already knew what he was going to do. He was just testing Philip's faith. So we see this huge, large harvest field out around us. And now Jesus is asking us, what are you going to do to reach them? Come on. How are you going to touch their lives? How are you going to meet their needs? How can we do this? You see, and when we look through the natural eye, just as Philip began to do, it looks too large for us, doesn't it? How can we do that? How can we reach this? We're a small number. We have limited resources. I know all about that. Been there for years. But God is a supernatural God that is only looking for us to extend our hands and say, here, Lord, you have me. And when we do that, he provides. So Philip, of course, answered him and said, you know, if we had several months' wages, 200 pennyworth, I believe King James says, doesn't he, which was several months' worth of wages, maybe half a year, right? If we had all that money, it still wouldn't be enough to buy enough bread to feed this large crowd. You know, it was just almost a ridiculous thing for Jesus to even ask them in the natural. There's no way we can feed them. So, what happened? Excuses. Boy, we're good at that, aren't we? Immediately started, here's Jesus, the man that you saw just cure an impotent man that you've been walking with, seeing blinded eyes open. Come on, he does these miracles in our life. He answers our prayers. He does miraculous things for us. And then when he asks us to do something, we start making excuses. Well, Lord, if somebody else can do it better than me. You know, Moses, I can't speak. I stutter. Get somebody else to go talk to him, right? You know, I've been there. That was me when God called me. If you'd have known me back then, you'd say, him? But our God loves to take the weak and confound the wise, doesn't he? Then just to make those that are strong look and say, wow, know that we couldn't do that in our own strength, our own power. So let's be careful not to make those excuses. And when Christ asks us to do something, let's just use what's in our hand. Amen. We're going to get there next. So there was another disciple, a young man named Andrew, which was Simon Peter's brother. We all know about Simon Peter. I guess he's one of my favorite apostles, and he's a whole lot like me. He was ready to go gung-ho, and sometimes he said stuff he shouldn't have and stuck his foot in his mouth and got in trouble, but he always repented and come up and went after it again. He never quit. Amen? And that's what I want known of my life, that he never quit. Even told, some of you need to tell the devil that too, by the way. I had to do that. When he come to me, won't you just quit? Church split, half of them left. People that were your best friends stabbing you in the back. You know, you had to go back to work full time and you're collecting garbage. Whew. Talking about humbling, right? The enemy said, won't you just quit? And I'm still collecting garbage. And when God told me to do that, he said, it's only for a season, son. Oh, man, it's okay. So it's be a year or two. Well, it's been almost eight. It'll be eight in July, but you know what? Eight is the number of new beginnings. And I'm believing that coming to the end of July, they're going to see me no more. Amen? That's what we're believing for. But here was Andrew, and he spoke up. There's a young boy here with five barley loaves and two small fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? So we're quick to judge Andrew already, aren't we? Because he says, well, what are they among so many? No, he was just being realistic. But the church needs some more Andrews. When they see a need, they go out and try to meet it. Come on. They see that need. And Andrew, got my lunch here. Most, you know, got the little lad's lunch. That's basically what it was. This young boy, and he left home that morning. And you know, Mama, I'm going to go follow Jesus today. I'm going to go take a walk with Jesus. I want to be near him. Well, you know mamas. Well, son, you can't go without something to eat. You know? So let me fix you a couple tuna fish sandwiches. Right? Five barley loaves. When in that time, it wasn't a loaf like you were thinking of. A loaf of bread, it was like a little biscuit. And two small fish. So maybe a can of sardines, right? Or what I've got tonight is I robbed what was left in my son's cupboard. Is some crackers and a can of tuna fish. You know, that's basically all it was, you know. But here goes Andrew through the crowd. There's a need. And he had that anointing to meet needs. Come on. Like I said, we need some more Andrews. I pray there's some Andrews in the house tonight. Go out there and meet that need. And he's going out and he's looking through that crowd. Come on, surely. In a crowd this size, you all had enough sense to bring some groceries with you, didn't you? You know, you didn't leave home unprepared, did you? Come on, ain't anybody got some canteens of water? Nobody got any crackers, you know, bread, anything? And I could see this little boy. I got my lunch. Come on. He said, I'll give it. Come on. And he presented it to Andrew. And here comes Andrew back to Jesus. He said, all I found was this. All I got is a little boy's lunch. What is that among so many? But we got to understand something. When you got Jesus, all he's asking you for is your lunch.
Right. Come on.
Come on. But see, we want to make those excuses. I have so little and I don't have a whole lot to bring to the table. Well, bring what you have. You know, as I was preparing for this morning, I began to think, you know, your mind just races. You race through the Scriptures. You see it time and time again. Moses, what's in your hand? And God asked him that. Remember, what is that in your hand? What's a staff? He's a shepherd. He had a shepherd's staff. He's a staff in his hand. He said, throw that thing down there. It turned into a snake, remember? And he said, grab it, pick it up, and turn back into staff again. He said, that represents my anointing, my power. I've anointed you. Come on. And we know that with that same staff, he touched the Red Sea and it parted and they walked across on dry ground. Come on. Dusty, dry ground. And we know he took that same rod and he smote the rock, which he shouldn't have done, and water came out. So, what's in your hand? Is it, you think it's little, but no. When you give it to God, he can do big things with it. And I begin to think a little more. You know, you think about Gideon there on the backside, hiding, you know, throwing up, you know, you're supposed to be up where the winds blow on top of the mountain. He's down in the valley hiding, trying to, you know, glean that wheat. And here comes that angel, you mighty man of valor. Come on. Who's he talking to? Me? The least in my tribe? There we go. Excuses. Come on now. You're God's creation. Man, he breathed life into you. He saved your soul. That's a miracle in itself. So who are we to tell him no? Who are we to make excuses and say, I can't? Come on. We got to get do in our vocabulary. I mean, that's what the folks with the property were in process of trying to purchase. There's a lot of planning going on, you know, planning. I said, well, planning's good, but let's do. You know, we can't get somewhere if you don't start doing.
Right.
We can sit down and plan until the cows come home, but we still ain't going to have a hamburger, right? Slay that thing. Get to work, right? And so, Gideon, what's in your hands? Well, he placed in his hands what? Was it a pitcher and a lamp and a trumpet, remember? Told him to circle around him and said, blow that trumpet. When I tell you to, you break those lamps and that light shines. And man, we know they won the battle. But he had to give up that little bit in his hand, didn't he? He had to just be enough, have enough faith to step out and do what God's calling him to do. Amen. And so what's in your hand? What do you have, David? What's in your hand, David? There's a giant out there. He's 9'6" tall. And there's an army shaking in their shoes down and there in the valley, right? And he's coming out saying, send me a champion. Send your best against me. Come on. You defeat me, my people will serve you. I defeat you, you'll be our slaves, right? And here these so-called mighty soldiers were shaking in their shoes, right? And along comes little old freckled-faced ruddy David. As I just say, I like to say back home, still had some pimples on his face with some Clearasil, right? Brothers thought he'd just be nosy coming down there to make fun. Daddy sent him with some cheese and some wine, right? Here he was with some cheese and some bread and some wine. He's delivering a pizza.
Yeah.
Coming into the camp, right? And it didn't look like he had a whole lot in his hands. And he hears all this that's going on. Oh, how we need some little Davids in the church, don't we? He hears all this battle, all this raging. And here comes this big giant. And David's sitting there and he's looking around at them like, what in the round world's wrong with you? Come on. He's defying the army of the living God. We have God on our side, right? And he said, I'll go. Come on now. And here his brothers. Here he goes, trying to show off again. You know, little smart, runny-nosed, snotty-nosed boy, you know. And he said, I'll take him. Because he said, I got God. Yes, right? So what's in your hands? You anointed or not?
Come on.
Are you God's? Are you his child or not? Right? And so he goes before a king, and the king, well, you got to have some armor, right? And he tries to put something on him that he didn't have in his hands. Come on. And that's what religion will do to you. That's what man will do to you. Try to put things on you that they think you ought to be doing. But what's God speaking to your heart? I don't care how ridiculous it sounds. God asks us to do some ridiculous things sometime in our eye, but he works miracles through them. And he's like, I can't use this. This is not what God's placed in my hands. I'm not skilled in this. This is not my anointing. Went and picked up 5 smooth stones. Come on. And we know, they say Goliath, what he had, either 4 brothers or 4 sons. I've heard historians say 2 different things. So he was going to make sure he got all 5 of them if he had to. That's what I personally believe. He had that old, as we say back home, a gravel flipper. Had that sling, right? That's what he had in his hands. And Achudius said, what is that against a giant? Come on. I can't go against him. I'm too little. Right? I'm too small. No. He said, I killed a bear with my hands. I killed a lion God was with me. And he said, and that Philistine right there, he's going to fall. Because what is he? Right? Man, I wish we had some in the church just to get that kind of boldness and that kind of faith and just grab a hold of what you got in your hand and use it for God. Amen? And man, he fired that thing and it was just like one of these ballistic missiles. Hit him out between his eyes and down he fell. And he went and grabbed his own sword and chopped off his head with it. Come on. Because he heard the call of God and he didn't say no. Lord, have mercy.
Come on.
He went forth. So we need some more Andrews. We need some more Davids. We need some more Gideons in the church. Just as I heard that Baptist preacher preach that night when he shared this text, little is much when God is in it. Right? Little is much when God is in it. But he will get in it when you give him what you got. You need to write that down. That's good stuff. Little is much when God is in it. And he will get in it when you give him what you got. You see, you can't keep holding on to it. You can't keep sitting around on your gift or on your anointing, right? You got to say, here, I'm going to give it a try. I would rather try and fail than never do anything for God. Amen? And so you give him what you've got, right? So, here this young lad came, he gave his lunch, and Jesus said, tell everybody to sit down. Come on. You see, that's what we got to learn to do. See, we want to try to figure stuff out. We want to try to run this tongue and come up with our own strategies. We need just to sit down and listen to Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit, right? Give him what you got. Now wait on the instructions. You know, how many people we get gung-ho, Pastor, you know I'm talking about, come to you ready to do something, but they don't want to wait on instructions. Come on. Well, I've given what I got. You want to fall on your face? You want to fail? Let's be still a minute, and God's going to give you some instructions and show you how to use that. Amen. And it may take months, and it may take 16 years. That's where we've been. Woo. 16 years, but we just keep giving what we've got.
That's right.
I remember showing up, Pastor, on Wednesday nights, our prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. So many times I'd stand behind that sacred desk and have maybe 2 folks out there. get so disheartened, so discouraged, go home and say, I'm just going to quit. No. That's right. That don't last long. You know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and He said, you preach to the empty seats if you have to. Because I've called you to minister. Come on, I've called you to do my work. Are you going to trust me? Mary knew what I was going after. Didn't even know I was going to share this tonight. But you see this rock? At that time in my life when I was about ready to quit, went from about 120 strong attending in a little bitty building that seated about 75 comfortably, God moving strong. And this has been what? Maybe 12 years ago. And then boom, all hell broke loose. Church split wide open, went down to about 40 people. I was full time and went back to work, hauling garbage. Well, I started off hauling youngins with the school bus. And then, phew, Lord of mercy, I pray for bus drivers, let me tell you. I'd rather haul garbage any day. A lot of responsibility, a lot of headache with that. But I remember one Sunday morning when all this was happening, and I remember that the denomination we were in at the time had flown us to a couple of places, and I had two great opportunities before me to go pastor other churches, and they offered me, this one church in DeVille, Louisiana. Have you ever been to DeVille, Louisiana? You don't want to go. Way out in the middle of nowhere. You got to drive an hour to get to the nearest Walmart or grocery store. Right out, in the sticks, man, out in the country. But they wanted us there so bad. They had a beautiful parsonage. They said, what do you got to have? We'll give you whatever salary you want. We'll remodel the parsonage. Whatever we need to do, we want you here. And, man, and I remember on the plane, on the ride home, God said, you know what? And God just shared this with a gentleman in my church with something he's had to make. And it really helped him. And he made the right decision. But God spoke to me on that plane, and He said, and it worked out where I couldn't sit with my family. Mary and Joshua he was just a lad at that time, had to sit over here, and I was a couple rows back over here with the way the seats were, you know, and I was kind of frustrated and aggravated about that, but God intended it to be that way because He used a dentist who was a believer who had been called into ministry, but not as a pastor, as a dentist. And He began to share with my heart, and boy, conviction began to eat me up. The Holy Spirit spoke to me sitting right there on that plane. And He said, you can take that church and I'll bless you. You can stay. I'm going to bless you. He said, you've been faithful. He said, you choose. The choice is yours. That's what I told this gentleman at church. I said, the choice is yours. You've been faithful in it. God will bless you either way. He said, but you know what I want you to do. And you know where I'm going to bless you the most. Come on. And He gave me a word to preach, and He told me what was going to happen, told me the people was going to get mad and walk out the church and not come back and going to sow discord and cause trouble. And I thought it was bad enough. It's going to get worse. I'm like, dear God, Louisiana sounds a little better. But I knew in my heart, and I shared it with my wife on a ride home from the airport, which was a couple hour drive back to our home. This is what's going to happen. This is why I've got a word to preach. This is what's going to happen. God done spoke to me. This one, this one, this one, this one, this one's going to get up and leave. Ain't going to be back. And they were best friends to my wife. And I said, we got to let them go. God said, don't go after them. Don't try to get them back. He's weeding them out. Let them go. Come on. Whew. Hard word. Very hard word.
Because we don't take.
And then it got worse.
There's only one
before your home, and I'm walking up this top of the steps. You get to the top of the steps. You
let it be.
And I'm feeling so defeated. Even told Mary on the way home, I said, I'm just going to resign. This is, we might as well just quit. I never, this is too far. I don't know if we ever, what's the use, you know? And I looked down in front of my refrigerator, and there sat this rock right in the middle of the kitchen floor. At the time, it was a gray, dusty gravel. And it was just sitting there. And I'm just so bumfuzzled by it. That's my lingo. Puzzled, you know. And I'm like, I picked it up. And I'm looking at it. There's no gravel around my house, not now or then either. paved driveway, no stone anywhere. And I'm like, where did that come from? You know. And Joshua was about 9 years old at that time, and I said, son, come here. Did you carry this rock in here? And I think that by that time I hadn't even picked it up. It's still lying on the floor. And he's like, no, Dad, I don't know what you're talking about. Mary, come here, look, you know where it come from? No. Immediately the voice of the Lord spoke to me. He said, I am your rock. They didn't call you. They didn't plant that church. I did through you.
That's right.
Right? They're not your dependents. They're not your source. I am. You stand on me. Come on.
Come on.
You stand on Christ, a solid rock. Amen. And you'll build on a firm foundation. Storm's still going to come. Jesus taught us that, didn't he? Wind's still going to howl. But when you're on the rock, even though your knees may tremble and be weak at times, they will not fall out from under you because you're on that firm foundation. Carried this rock all those years ever since. And you can see it's about black now from where I even get it out. And when the old enemy starts fighting me, I grab that thing out of my pocket. Oh, God is my rock, my salvation. Come on, my shield, my buckler, in whom I trust. Come on. Sometimes I get in my hand, Pastor, and I look down at hell, and I said, Satan, you're not my rock. Come on. You're not my dependence. You know when he laughs at me when I'm out there picking up that garbage? Man, how God has spoke to me a lot picking up garbage too. My goodness. And you know, he's my rock. He's who I'm standing on. Amen. And 16 years. God's time's not ours. But I'm a different man now. Amen. Never got the privilege to go to seminary, but he's brought me through by experience. Amen. And he's taught me a lot. And now I know he's calling me now to be a father. Come on, I wasn't ready then. I was wet behind the ears and green and learning a lot. Wasn't raised.
And he's saying,
you know, it's all new. And that's when a lot of stuff really hit the fan too, you know, when we start moving in the Spirit, stepping out in faith. But God's never failed. Bills have always been paid. He's the rock. Amen. I didn't mean to get in all that in this message, but he is your rock and you trust in him. Amen. And now we're seeing those blessings come. Because he spoke to me clearly. He said, you stay where you are, I'm going to bless you more. You stay where you are. You know, I'm going to do a great move. I'm like, oh man, this is good. I'm staying. Well, that's been a lot of years ago. You know? And this has been a hard walk of faith, let me tell you. But the rewards are worth it. It's amazing. God is so good, and I'm here to tell you, if you just believe him and stand strong with him and know your little will do a lot. I believe it was Pastor Jeff that spoke at the prophetic conference. My pastor too, by the way. Thank God for him. That we are in a day and we are in an hour when there will be no more one-man show in the church. No more big men and women of God on the platform getting all the glory. Come on, he's still using people. I'm not saying he's not. But it's time for the body of Christ to flow and to rise up and let your little do a lot together.
Amen.
You see, when everybody brings their lunch together and pulls it around to the table, great works can be done. See, that's what Jesus... He put us together as community. When you think about the Trinity, it's all about community. Father, Son, Spirit. Come on. And when he prayed in John 17, it was all about community. Father, that they may be one with us.
Right.
I and them, you and me. And we're all one. It's all about community. He said, I've called them to be a body. We're baptized into the body of Christ. In Romans 12, right? And we become the body. And there's different gifts he gives each and every one of us. Different callings. Thank God for the fivefold ministry, but not all of us are going to operate in that. But you have a gift.
That's right.
Come on. And I thank God. I know, I've never seen such, right now where we are. It's just amazing. I have such a, I'm humbled by it. Stand for my congregation telling how humbled I am at the quality of people God has placed in my life at this hour. Even now, you people, new relationships. White Horse, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Gary, dear friend of mine. That's how we were connected with Pastor Jeff. He's from our area. And God has raised up, He has brought in young men and women of God with great callings on their life. And I see what God is doing. And that vision He gave me so many years ago and how He spoke to me on that plane, we're now beginning to see it come into fruition. And I don't have to go look for staff. I don't have to worry a thing about it because they're right there with me. And God has placed them all right there. I've got an intercessor pastor. I got a children's church minister. I got youth workers, youth pastors. Come on, I got an evangelist in the house that I'm grooming to be my assistant. Then threw him for a loop a couple months ago when I told him, I said, God's done spoke to my heart. You're going to be my assistant pastor. He said, I got to pray about that. Well, you can pray all you want to, that's okay, but I'm telling you, you're going to be my assistant pastor. Come on. And I said, so when I'm gone, you're going to be the man in charge. Come on. When I'm out of town, it's on your shoulders. Well, let me pray. No, there ain't no praying about it. Come on. I'm telling you, as your pastor, I know what God spoke. Come on. And we're grooming you in this thing. People's got to come up behind us. Because we all have giftings. Amen. Over there in 1 Corinthians 12, He talks about the gifts of the Spirit. He gives them to all of us. And we don't all flow in all of them. Come on. Wouldn't need, if everybody had it all, He wouldn't need a body, would He? That's what He said. And no gift is more important than the other. So don't you dare think that what you have to offer is too small. Because if this little boy had sat on his lunch or went and hid behind a rock somewhere and gobbled it up and been selfish, that large crowd of people would have still been hungry. But because he was willing to give up the little bit he had, and I love it. Jesus didn't say, that's too little. A couple tuna fish sandwiches, what can I do with that? Right? Uneducated people. Man, when you look at the disciples, you shouldn't give God an excuse at all. They were the most, them guys were, as we like to say, they were a ragtag bunch of guys, wasn't it? If we went out looking for staff or looking for somebody to follow us, they'd be the last ones we'd have picked. Come on. But that's how God works, how He operates. He wants to show what He can do, right? So He took it, and He blessed it. I love that. So He blessed it, and He began to distribute it out to those men. That's a whole other message. I won't go there tonight about being the spiritual leaders, right? Those 5,000 men, He handed them out. Can you imagine that? How that? It was like being a golden corral. Come on. He lifted that basket up with that little boy's lunch in it and came down, and man, it was overflowing with fish and bread. And they began to give it out, and the basket never got empty. Can you imagine that? And it was just like a buffet. And the Bible says they ate till they were full. Probably the first time in some of them's life they'd ever felt like most of us feel every time we eat, because we're blessed, aren't we? Filled. It just blows my mind to have been there and to have witnessed that. All from a little boy's lunch. So don't you dare say, I can't, it's too little. No, little is much when God is in it. He will get in it when you give Him what you got. Amen. And I love the end result of that. He said, go get the leftovers. Come on. We got a big old doggy bag, right? Get it all. We ain't going to waste it. Boy, we could preach on that all night. There's another one. Don't waste what God has placed in your hands. Don't let it get moldy. Come on. Don't sit on it and hide it. Put it up there on the candlestick and let God use it. Amen. So He said, go get those leftovers. In other words, He's shown us, don't waste. Come on. And I loved, I always, I feel like, I don't know if the Bible doesn't tell us, but I want to think that that little boy late that night when he went home, that there was 12 basketfuls left. 12 doubting disciples fought alone behind him, carrying them. Blessing they could have had, right?
That's right.
And he walks in and Mama's like, Mama just has her a fit. Because she just barely had enough to scrounge together that lunch for him that morning. Now they had enough food to eat. Lord have mercy, how are we going to keep it all and store it all? Let's have a big feast. Let's call in the neighbors. See, that's what we're supposed to do with the excess, right? Take care of the needy and feed the hungry and bless the broken. Amen. For that's what God has called us to do. So I hope that's been encouraging to you tonight. God's got a big work for you to do. Amen. 12 years, you're just getting started. You know. That's right. But God's got great things in store. So don't give up. Don't listen to lies of the devil. He's a liar and a father. I tell him all the time. I love him. And I know you guys know Dr. Mike. I love Dr. Mike Brown. And I learned this from him, and I share this all the time. Who does Satan think he is? He's a stupid, out-of-work angel. Thought he could be God. Right? Boy, I love saying that. You know, people in the church are, Grant, he said that about the devil. Oh, God. Yeah, I'll say it again. Stupid, out-of-work angel. Thought he could be God. Then he wants to lie and try to deceive you, and you let him. That's what's amazing about it. We let him. See, the only power the enemy can have over you is to get you to believe a lie. That's it. Because he has no power. He has no authority. All he is a deceiver. He tricks and lies and deceives. You want to come share, Mary, what God's laid on your heart tonight? Thank you for your good attention. Amen.
All right. That's awesome word. I know Todd shared that many, many times. It's a good word. How many of you came to the women's conference back in February? Several of you I got to meet, and several of you now we're Facebook friends, and it's a wonderful tool. A lot of people don't use it for a tool. They use it for gossip and a drama queen practice and all kinds of things that can be had. But we have developed such a beautiful relationship with Pastor Mike and Patty, and we know that our son and daughter-in-law, being in Kentucky right there working at his company, he works for Southern Air as a flight dispatcher, he has had great favor. Our son walks in our favor. I mean, that's just honest truth. We've just taught our son from the time that he was conceived to honor God, to bless God, to put him first. And we try our best to continue to teach him that every opportunity. But I know that God has good things for he and his wife. So I ask you to continue to pray. They had been attending a church. I'm not going to even speak the name since we're recording tonight. We had shared with Pastor Mike, but they have not been attending there. We are asking and believing God that he will put them into a good church. Our son is an amazing musician. An amazing musician. He is one of the top-notch percussionists. We honestly thought that Josh would be minoring in music. He is very gifted in a lot of areas. Right now, he's sitting on his talent. He is not giving God what he has right now. So I ask that you continue to cover them in prayer, since you folks are a little closer to him than we are as far as regional districts and things like that. But we are so glad and so honored that Pastor Mike and Patty would have us to come and to be a part of your fellowship. And if you're ever down in towards Johnson City, Tennessee, come visit us. We'll pack you in that building until we get to the next one. We are packing them in there like crazy. It's so funny. On Sunday mornings, I lead worship in our church, and our praise and worship team and our band, we have a full band and everything. We get going, and it seems like everybody comes at 5 till 11. It's like, boom, here they all come in. And they line up. You can watch them. They're just lining up. It's like we have to have ushers to seat people now. It's that bad. It's as far as finding a place to sit. It's just beautiful. It is the most beautiful problem we've ever had. At first, when this problem started, I'm going to call it a problem. It's really not a problem. It's a good problem. It would make me a little nervous, and I'm looking from the platform going, where are we going to put these people today? Where are we going to put these people? Because, you know, a lot of people don't like to sit right next to somebody. But you know what? We have saw a sovereign move of God in our church. We are experiencing a river move in our church. It is a beautiful thing. We are seeing people saved every week. We are seeing just incredible people in the house that are rising up, in, like Todd was saying, into their giftings, their callings, and they're stepping out. They're not afraid to do that. And Todd and I came to encourage you tonight, whatever your gift is in this church, serve and give. Get behind your pastor. Get behind your pastor's wife. Support them. Get behind the vision. He has the vision. God has placed in him a vision for this ministry and for this body. I encourage you to get behind him. When you get behind him, this is your core right here, Pastor. You know that. If they'll come on Thursday night, they love Jesus. They love Jesus, but they also love you and will support you. So I encourage you, as a man of God, for you to continue to run and chase the vision that God has called you to do and to plant into your heart. And Patty, you do the same. If you don't mind, if you'll just come up here and sit with your awesome husband, would be awesome. We just feel like God uses me in a little different way than he does Todd. He has been shifting me in a different direction since November. Pastor Jeff had asked me to speak at the women's conference, and I normally don't speak at women's conferences. I can lead worship all day long for you. I play for a really good hopping Christian contemporary band where we come from, and they are pretty doggone good. But you know what? It's just, he's just shifting me. I'm giving him my lunch. I'm giving him what I have. So I want to continue to do that. But I just want to just speak blessing over the both of you, that God will continue to bless you in this ministry. Pastor Mike, the Lord has been speaking to me the last several weeks. When you asked us about coming, I had been praying into that because I want the Lord to give me prophetic word to speak into your life tonight. I have been asking for that, for revelation for you. I feel like you're asking the Lord for some different direction right now. You want to know what direction to go in this season, because this is a little bit of a different season that you both are in right now, and you want to make sure it's the right turn, the right shift, whatever you need in your life. And the Lord is going to give you great divine revelation as to what to do. There'll be no question. There'll be no question, Patty, as to what God would have for the both of you to do. He will lead you and guide you and walk. He will take you by the hand. It will seem like it's just such an easy transition as you walk into this next step. And you don't have to be afraid. Don't be fearful of it, Patty. Don't be fearful, the Lord would say. He does not want you to be fearful of this. God is going to move in this church. God is going to move in this church. There have been people that have came and returned in our church. Some people that were not supposed to have left in the first place that are going to come and return into this house. The Holy Spirit spoke that same thing, just as you desire that same river move and the fire of God to be in your church that is in our church, and it's coming into your church because of the prayers and the times that you have sought. You have been on the mission field and pouring into other people, and the Lord is going to reward that openly in Jesus' name. And there are people that are going to come and return to this fellowship, and I'm going to encourage the body here. Embrace them. Embrace them. Embrace them. Put your arms around them. When you see them, you stick your hand out just as I am to Patty. It's so good to have you. Welcome home. We have a motto, and I'm going to encourage you to use this. I'm going to share it with you. Welcome to the family. That is our motto. And I'm going to share that with you, and I want you all to begin to operate that way, is welcome to the family. As people return back home. So this Sunday, that is, I don't know how you can do that into your, to opening up, but God's going to have you to do that. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. And so I want to encourage you all just to begin to get that new lingo in your mouth. Let's just say it together. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. This is a family. This is a beautiful family. This is a beautiful body of Christ that God has set into this house. And there are more coming. These seats are not going to be empty like this much longer. Just as our seats have been filled and overflowing, yours are going to be filled and overflowing. If you don't mind, would you go play your guitar just a little bit, just real soft, if you don't mind. Do you have an intercessor, Pastor? show, hey, you are the intercessor over this house. Oh, Shay, the Lord is going to call you to rise up these other people and to train and equip them to birth the move of God, because it's going to come as you call these people into more and deeper prayer. That's the only way the move of God is going to come, as you, and you know that, as you get in deeper prayer. Folks, get behind this lady. She's going to lead you into the throne room, because it's going to birth the great move of God. And you may start out with one or two people. I don't know. Do you meet weekly to pray? Oh, we met 3 days a month, the first 3 days of the month in our church. It was not working. Pastor Todd said, we need to change. So I'm going to encourage you to do the same. Get consistent. Be consistent in the prayer. It's going to take some sacrifice. Can you come weekly and pray? Can you come weekly and pray? Who would commit to come weekly to pray with her over this house? Show who, Shay, hey. If you will commit to do that, it will bless this house abundantly. That is the key. Who's got some keys? Todd, where's your keys, buddy? You don't have that key Mark gave you, do you? Yeah, you do. Right there it is. We had a young man in our church that is over our, you know, Pastor Eric at White Horse, who's over all this. We have such a same setup. It's crazy. When we went back up to White Horse back in November, we stood and laughed. We said, oh, my Lord. Well, we hadn't been able to go for so many years. I had been very, very sick. You would not know that by looking at me. But I'd been very, very sick for 10 years. Had a blood disease. And I shared that at the women's conference. They thought I had leukemia, but it ended up I had a blood disease, a blood disorder. Was nothing I did. It's a problem with my bone marrow. And anyway, as I shared this and how God has just been taking me the last 10 years of healing, and God has just sustained me. I spoke on sustain at the women's conference. But a lot of this, the key is prayer. This young man I was speaking about gave Pastor Todd this key, and it says Jesus. And that's going to be a key into the great move that's coming in this church, is consistent prayer. Because the Lord is all about the consistency of prayer. And so I'm just going to ask you again, who's going to say, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to make a commitment, and I'm going to come and pray. I'm going to do that and be faithful. I don't know what night you're going to pick to do that, a different night than maybe on Thursday night. We meet at our church. We meet every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursday, every other week for drama practice or something going on in that building all the time. Every Monday night we meet for intercessory prayer. It's like from 6 to 8. And I'm not telling you how to do it just like ours, but it is a key. It is a huge key. And it will birth and usher in. When we started praying months ago, that is when everything started happening. Things started changing. There was a key that was put in there, and it unlocked something. It was prayer. So I would encourage you to do that as you lead this group, and just get ready, because it's going to come. Pastor Mike, get ready. There's people that's going to come. They're coming. Was thinking about as we drove up, the Lord showed me about the river. You know how the river separates the two states. You've got Kentucky, and then you've got into the Ohio. And I hate crossing that bridge. I don't like bridges. I don't like to drive over a bridge. First time I ever went to White Horse and I drove over that bridge, I about had a panic attack, and I didn't know what a panic attack was. I don't like bridges. But I was praying about what that river was. There has been a division for a long time, and the Lord is just making that river just to close up to where it's going to be one, and there's going to be a great unity to come over your church. And that needs to be a focus of your prayer. So I just want us to lift our hands together. And I just want to pray blessing and unity over your church in a greater capacity that is going to come over this house. And I just, Lord, I just ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you will just do a great and mighty work over this house in Jesus' name. Lord, for each person that's in this place tonight, we just speak blessing over them from our house to your house. May there be a great impartation of the Holy Spirit, that in fire that would move through this place. God, I pray for the lives and the hearts of men and women and boys and girls to be changed in this place. Lord, I pray that the body here in this house will so get behind Pastor Mike and Patty for the vision that's ahead, because the vision is great and one person cannot do it by themselves. It takes the entire team, and the team is going to win this time. oh, I feel that strong. The team is going to win this time. The team is going to win this time. I'm going to ask you just to get up and do something a little bit different. We do this at home. We just came to impart from our house to yours, Pastor. I want you to just begin to pray over every seat in this house. Every seat over this house. Speak to that seat. Say, Lord, I ask you to fill that seat. Fill that empty seat right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, visit the person that's coming to sit in those seats in this house in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, just bless this house in part. Father God, I ask you for the worship team that you will ever increase. Send the laborers in this house, Father God, that they will be able to go out and to minister into the masses in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, thank you for the young people that's coming even greater in this church. In Jesus' name. For the children that are coming in this house in Jesus' name. Lord, fill this house with people that want to serve you and worship you. Lord, fill this house with the lost. Fill this house with those that people, that the undesirables, Lord, that their lives can be changed and set free in Jesus' name. Fill this house, Lord. Fill this house with your Shekinah glory, Father God. Fill this house, and we bless you, Lord.
In our house, we've been seeing drug addicts coming in. We got a young lady right now that God has worked such a miracle in her life. She once was in ministry. Her and her husband once were pastors. And they've been through a divorce, remarried, divorced again because she was on crack cocaine and on drugs. And God has set her free. And she's right now going through a rehab program that is being birthed in our ministry. And I feel strong in my spirit that God is speaking. Get ready. For the drug addicts are coming in. Get ready because they're going to come in and find what they can't find, what drugs can't do for them. That they get high on Jesus and be set free. And Father, we just believe in Jesus' name that you will set the people in place, Father, who can minister to them. Father God, who would be strong in the faith and counsel them and be there for them, and maybe even open up their homes where they would have somewhere where to lay their heads and to help them, Father, in Jesus' name. That you would just equip. So get ready. I feel that strong in my spirit. Just get ready. Jesus, 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 break the back of drugs, Father.
Where'd your sweet wife go? Patty, if you'll come back on up if you can. I know. I'm telling you, get ready. As you come into this house and begin this intercessory prayer, there's going to be some strange encounters that you're going to be having. He's going to shake, rattle, and roll you. It's going to come in this house. It's going to come in this house. We want to pray for you both before we leave. and go back to cross that bridge again. Across that bridge. Oh, I pray, okay. I'm okay. I'll just pray in the Holy Spirit. It's okay. It doesn't bother me at all. We'll get a couple of people just to come around these. I want you just to extend your hand towards them. And I want you to encourage you, get behind this man and this woman of God. They are precious people. We were able to meet and have lunch with them in November. And what a wonderful, wonderful pastor you have. He is a man of integrity, a man of great character. He does what he says he will do. And God has good things in store for him. Good things in store. Good things in store for you. It would blow your mind if the Lord would take the veil off right now. Shoo, hey, shee. It would blow your mind. Mike, it would probably scare you because you have been on the mission field and you have been into the places that most people wouldn't go. You were talking about going to Haiti. My gosh, what a heart. That is a heart of compassion. And the Lord is going to so honor that. You have a great harvest field in this city. As Todd and I drove around, we even drove around in this region. This is a great harvest field. This is a great harvest field. The Lord is going to call the church to begin to do some things in this community, even greater, even greater. It's going to happen. Get behind your pastor. Get behind him because the people are going to come in. They're going to come in. They're going to come in. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Yes. It's coming in a greater capacity than your heart or your mind can even understand tonight. I just feel that it's just coming. Yes. It's going to be a constant, steady flow. There will never be a season of lack of finances over the house because of the Lord always provides in a supernatural way. There's coming people that's going to be in need. For those that are coming that are going to be able to help finance, but there's coming those that are going to be in need also. And you are going to have a heart of compassion because you know what it's like to be on the mission field and to see people who don't have clothes to wear, who don't have shoes on their feet, who don't have even food to eat or even clean water to drink. And that grieves you. You cannot understand. You cannot understand. And you just want to give everything you have. You have given your last dollar to go on the mission field at times. I hear that clearly. And nobody else has known but you and your precious wife. You never complained. You never complained about it. But the Lord is going to increase you. He is going to give you great favor. Favor with God and man. Favor with God and man that's going to be able to help finance some of these mission trips that you have even greater. There's going to be a time that Pastor Todd and I are going to be able to go on these mission trips with you because we need to know how. We need to know how. Our son has been on many mission trips and he needs to go again on the mission field. But you know what, Patty? The Lord's going to provide supernaturally for you all to go. He's going to unleash some things for you all to both to be able to go. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's a divine season for us to be going. It's a divine season. It's a divine season, Pastor, for you to be going. There's not going to be anything that's going to hold it back. There's not going to be anything. Just fresh rain is going to fall in this house. Ho, shay, hey. Fresh rain of the oil of the Lord is coming in this house. Shay, hey, dia basoto, ye shedded in my sata, ye shay. Hey, the Lord says, drink, because it's fresh water that he's sending to you. He is fresh water to a dry and a weary soul in a barren land. Hey, she did it in my soto, yay, she did it in my sikereba. Shay, hey, there is great birthing that is going to be taking place, Pastor, in this house, in this intercessory prayer time. Great birthing, because without the move of God, there has to be a great birth. There has to be a great birth. And there's going to be a great birth that's going to come in this place. There's going to be brand new babies that are going to be birthed in this house. Show for the move of God that's coming in this place. There has to be a great birthing. There's coming a great birthing in this place. There's going to be intercessors in this house. It's going to birth the move of God. There is coming that in Jesus' name. Patty, don't be afraid. the Lord is going to just give you great peace and great joy in this next season. That you're going to be able to walk with the pastor hand in hand. There are going to be ladies that are going to embrace you and love you. People that you can trust and to know that, you can count on them. It's going to be the team this time, Patty. It's going to be the team this time. Embrace everything that God has for you in this season, Patty, because there's coming a great birthing in this church. And as the mother of this church, there is going to be a great, great birthing. Just as you gave birth to your own child, but there's coming a birthing in the spirit in this house that's going to sweep through this place, that's going to cause babies to grow quickly in the name of Jesus. And it's going to be coming. It's going to be coming. It's coming quickly. God's going to interrupt your services. Oh! He's going to interrupt your services in a new way that you have been desiring for. You've been saying, God, I want that in my church. I want your moving of the Holy Spirit in my church. And it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Weeping has endured for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. So joy is here. It's here to stay. The move of God is coming in this place. So I tell you, church, get ready for it. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. It's coming, it's coming. It's coming. It's going to blanket this house. It's going to blanket this house in a new way. It's going to be a little different than what you've been used to on Sundays. Even the sound of the music is going to be a little different than what you've even heard. But it's coming. Embrace it. Embrace it, the Lord would say. Because it's going to reach this generation. It's going to reach this generation. It's going to cross all borders. Oh, shay, hey, my shoto, ye shite te de. Show, hey, hey. Masoto, she did it at a masoto. She did it, Rosite, yesha. She did it at a masoto. She, hey, hey. She, hey, hey. Show. She did it. Without conception, there can be no birth. She has conceived. Show. Show.
Something unusual that the Lord's speaking to my heart to ask you guys if you would do it. You know, just as the little lad came and brought his lunch to Jesus, I wonder if this word tonight has touched your hearts, if you've been challenged, if you would come around your pastors, bow around them tonight and say, I'm going to give him my lunch. Come on. What I've got, the giftings, I'm going to use them, my time to come and pray. When I'm asked to do something, I'm not going to make excuses. I'm going to give him my lunch. I'm going to give what I have to Jesus, because little is much when God is in it. And he will get in it when you give him what you've got. And these pastors need you. As I said before, this is not a movement in the spirit with one individual. This is taking the body of Christ, and we've got to unify together and flow together. So I challenge you, get around your pastors. Get behind the vision. For you see, what we are seeing in Bread of Life right now is all happening because the church is in unity behind the vision, working together for the first time in 16 years, 100% unity. And where there is unity, there is commanded blessing. So get behind your pastors. Work side by side, labor hand in hand, and don't look for titles.
Don't look for a pat on the back. Just look to please the Father. Just as that little widow lady came and she put that little penny in the offering, Jesus said that she'd give all she had. And He was pleased. He's the one who is watching. He's the one who sees your heart. And He's the one who rewards. So don't go after titles. Don't go after building up a name for yourself. Unify together and build the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you do that, it's a church the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And that's where you can tell that old devil, Satan, you're such an idiot. Because we're a church built on the rock. Just like Peter was turned to Petros, he's that rock, that belief is that rock. The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. And we thank You, Jesus. We thank You for commanded blessing that's coming. We thank You for times of refreshing that's coming. Lord, just as we preach Sunday morning, those times of refreshing are here because we're repenting, because we're turning from our sins, because we're getting ourselves out of the way and saying, Lord, here's our lunch. Here's our life. And Lord, that's what we are doing here tonight. And we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name.
Thank You, Lord. God, You are so good. You are so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Patty and Pastor Mike, I want to sing this little song to you and to your congregation. If you'll just stop just a second. I don't know if you remember this song, We Will Break Dividing Walls. I want to sing this little chorus. We will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. In the name of Your Son, we will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. And we shall be one. Sing it again. We shall break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. In the name of Your Son, we will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. And we shall be one.
Well, I told you it'd be a good time, didn't I? Was I right or was I right? Praise the Lord. I appreciate that you made it out tonight, everybody. Thank God. I will mark this day, 30th day of April, 2015, as a time of change. Just finished writing 3 essays today, all of them about leadership and teamwork. And you had no idea, but the Holy Spirit did. As I was studying to do those, anybody that was into school ministry last year will know that that was last year's assignment. But to know that He's had my heart on that all day, and then to have a word this evening and confirmation of all that I made preparation for is a little overwhelming, as He is at times. But I think that this is a day in the history of our church that we will remember. There are times those types of things happen. We have dates over the last 11 years that we've seen God change things and initiate. as we've been saying since January 1, you know, the end of January, we look back and we added this many. In February, and then we added this many. In March, we've added this many. We had more visitors so far this year than we had all year last year. And I believe that it's not an uncommon thing this year. I believe it is really the future of what God intends to do if we will allow Him to build His church, and we will be those who love those who come through the doors. Some of you have come here in the last 3 or 4 years because the Lord positioned you to be here now. And we're grateful. Some longer ago than that. He's been building a core for many years. And we've been learning a lot together. We've been growing a lot together. But tonight, this marks something significant in the history of the church. So keep that in mind. Those of you who journal, please journal that. I'll just plant it here. It'll stay. And I'll remember this night. And I'll remember these people for coming and doing what the Lord had for them to do. Boy, are we on a course for goodness and mercy and grace. Amen. We have been praying for that. Keep that in mind because it's His kingdom, not ours. It hasn't got anything to do with our personal preferences or our personality quirks. It has nothing to do with that. It has all to do with the kingdom of God. An individual tell me once that we evidently have different philosophies. I said, well, my philosophy is this. If they are in the kingdom of God, then they are my brother and my sister, and I have to love them. And, you know, even more so, I want to love them. So if we have philosophies other than that, we've got the wrong philosophy. So, thanks. Well, if you ever come back up here and you don't tell me you're coming, you're going to be in sore trouble, my friend. Hot dog. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. No part-time fat balls. I'm not into that much either. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, thank You. What You've initiated in our hearts tonight, Lord, we ask that You bear that into us. Burn it like an image upon our hearts, Lord, that we can't help but see every day. That which we've committed to tonight, that we've said we will do this. Holy Spirit, hold it ever before us as we make commitments to You. Your word declares that it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow to God and not keep it. So we stand before You tonight. Those things we have promised, we have vowed, we have said with our heart we will do. Father, we intend to do those things. And as we do, You'll bring forth fruit. There is before us a harvest that we didn't labor for, Father, that is ours to reap. And we begin to call that in from the north and the south and the east and the west tonight, Your sons and Your daughters, O God. Those that have run away and those that have never heard, draw them into this place, into this city, into the houses in this city that bear Your name, that will preach Your word, that will stand for Your goodness and Your mercy, Father. Let them be filled. Let them be filled with the glory and the bodies those You're calling into Your kingdom. Father, we thank You for that. We bless You that this community, Montford Heights, would know that Jesus is Lord. from this place outward, Father, to the areas that we represent in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. We call them in. None too far away that can't come. We bless you for that tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go and have great and glorious dreams of the kingdom of God. As they say in South America, dulces sueños. Sweet dreams. Amen. We'll see you Sunday.